This is Living the RV Dream, episode 45, for Friday, February 23rd, 2018.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome one more time to the podcast, and thank you so much for listening. I know you have a lot of choices out there, and the fact that you listen to me, it's really, really great. If it is your first time here, my name is Robert Morales, and me and my wife travel towing a 19-foot travel trailer by Winnebago, which has been great to us. And eventually we want to move up to something motorized, but something small enough that we won't have to have a towed behind. So we're thinking BB plus or a small class C. We'll see what the future brings. And I'm coming to you today here from my home office in Miami, my recording studio. And getting used to being static again. As you know, I was traveling for a little over a month. I went to the Tampa show, I went to the Quartzsite show, kind of, you know, the tail end of it, and then even drove all the way to the Pacific Ocean, which had been a dream of mine all my life. Right now I'm editing those videos, and I think it's gonna come out great. I'm a little upset because I lost some footage. I'm sure it's somewhere in some hard drive. I just imported it into the wrong place. But it's luckily I travel with three cameras, and the main camera, the one that I shoot most of the good footage with, those video clips I have. But I lost all the footage. You know, I have a GoPro camera, an action camera that I have attached to the roof of the trailer. So you see like a bird's eye view, you know, with my tow vehicle in front. I lost all the footage from San Antonio all the way to El Paso. And that's 2 days of footage. Yeah, I actually record the whole road. I have to stop anyway every 2 to 3 hours, you know, to go to the bathroom or to put gas, or just to take a break, and then I hop on the roof and change the battery. So that camera is recording all day. I lost all that footage, probably 16 hours, maybe a little less of footage. And then I have another small wide-angle action camera that is the one that I use to, you know, to talk on camera, to speak to you guys. And I lost that footage too. I have all the footage from my big Sony, so that's... that's good, because that's the main one, but it's a little upsetting. It's not indispensable for me to make the video, but you know, I'm gonna miss having the choice to use those different angles. Anyways, the first video of the series is already in the can. It's already uploaded, and some savvy people have even been able to see it, because it is unpublished up in YouTube, and I already added it to a playlist. So if you happen to find that playlist, you can watch the video. That would be a nice Easter egg. It's a different video from my usual style. You know, I usually, although I've been changing, at the beginning, when I started my YouTube channel, I was channeling Rick Steves a lot. It's like my role model for this videos about a particular destination. But in this video is mainly me driving from Tampa to the Texas state line. So I did it more like a daily vlog, you know, a lot more of me talking on camera, some, you know, daily stuff that you do on the RV, cooking, organizing. I showed a little bit of that as well. So I hope you like it. It's a different style for sure. And I wrote a new song that you already probably, if you follow my YouTube channel and you saw the video that I did about our meetup with Less Junk, More Journey, Nathan and Marisa and Lil Hensley, I did play that song at the end of the video. But the song will be prominently featured in this video, Driving to the West, because that's the name of the song, Driving to the West. And I just composed yesterday, actually, yesterday morning, and it came out like in 2 or 3 hours. It was real quick. I just did a quick tune for Texas, and it's like a Western country kind of rhythm. I'm gonna play it at the end of today's podcast. I think it came out okay. It's still a little rough around the edges when it comes to the mix down and all that, but I think it came out decent, and that's the one that I'm gonna use for the video that I'm editing right now, which is the one that I lost some of the footage, which is a video that is going to be just driving through Texas. And I didn't really stop in Houston or in San Antonio. I should have. I wanted to. But I did stop at the Marfa Lights viewing area, and I did stop briefly in El Paso. So I'm gonna feature those two places, and the rest of the video is gonna be driving a lot, because Texas is a very, very large state, as you all know. And that's that. That's the update on my YouTube editing. As you know, YouTube is my main source of income, and that's something I wanted to talk about, because right now the RV Entrepreneur Summit is happening in Fredericksburg, Texas, and a lot of people have gathered there. I think it's over 100 people, and a lot of them are RV entrepreneurs, people who make their money, you know, make a living on the road. And Technomadia is going to be there, and Let's Junk More Journey, Nathan and Marisa, and I do believe Jessica from Exploring the Local Life is going to be there too. But I wanted to talk about the ways that I make money while on the road, although I still, as you can tell, I still have a living my stick and bricks here in Miami, although eventually the idea is to be nomadic. But nomadic glamping. I'm not gonna poop in a bucket. That's out of the question. I'm always going to be in an RV with a black water tank, at the very least a cassette toilet. I'm not sold on the composting toilets either. But eventually, so my number one source of income at the moment, as I said, is YouTube. And YouTube doesn't pay much, but I make it up in volume. I'm getting what 300,000 views a month, so that translates. I'm making a little over 1,000 there. It fluctuates up and down. And then my secondary source of income is Amazon. Actually, the second source of income as of this moment is Custom Covers, my sponsor. Actually, I met these folks. We corresponded via email a couple of times, and then we met at the Tampa RV show, and we agreed upon the price and all that. And they say, "Sure, we want to sponsor your channel." So I've been, if you've been watching my YouTube videos, I mentioned them and their phone number. In fact, they're not they're not technically sponsoring the podcast, but I'm gonna give them a free plug anyways. It's Custom Covers, and their website, I'm looking for it as we speak here. Their website is customcoversofr.com, because they're located in Arkansas. But check them out. It's they make these covers. It could be for an RV or for a car, but they're trying to promote their covers for RVs, and they're very nice steel covers. Their number is 501-455-4442, and 501-455-4442. Her name is Lisa, and if you mention me, they will actually give you a discount on the price. So check them out. Not officially a sponsor of the podcast, but I might as well give them a free plug. It's such nice folks. Very, very pleasant. We had a very nice conversation, and they're not, with my previous sponsor, it was an ordeal, and I had to send them invoices and this and that. These people was a handshake. They gave me a check, and they're already talking about renewing for the next month. So it's really cool. Very nice. Lisa Boxley and her husband. And that's my second source of income. Third source of income is Amazon, actually. And I make money on Amazon via two sources of income. One of them is my affiliate link. So whenever you click a link here on the show notes and on the also on the description of the YouTube videos, if you click on that link, it takes you, and it's an Amazon link, and it takes you to Amazon. I mean, you won't see any difference in price or selection, but I do get a very small, you know, commission. But hey, it adds up. If 100, if 1,000 people buy something and I make a dollar out of each sale, yeah, you do the math. It's that's my third source of income, but also from Amazon. Now I'm starting to upload my videos on Amazon. So if you have an Amazon Prime account, you know, you have access to free or included TV shows and movies and all that. Well, now my videos, some of them I'm uploading slowly because it's an ordeal, it's a process. I'm uploading slowly all my videos to Amazon as well. And I make, actually, per minute of video views, I make more money on Amazon than on YouTube, actually. But it is an ordeal. It has to be in a certain format. Of course, I have to re-edit them, not to mention anything about subscribing or liking or that kind of stuff. You know, it has to be custom-made for Amazon. And the other thing that is a barrier to entry is that they have to have captions. And I've been actually spending money captioning all my videos. There's a service that captions them for a dollar a minute, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Eventually it's going to pay off because it is a tedious process to caption. I did it to a couple of videos a while back, and it is quite tedious. So that okay, number four, a source of income. And of course, this is something that you guys can do as well. If you're providing something of value, is Patreon. And I have 24 patrons as of now. And these are people who choose to support the work that I do by donating some money. Some of them donate a lot, and I even put their names on the credits of my videos as executive producers, and they get, you know, free perks. Like sometimes they get a sticker, they get early access to the videos, they get sometimes free music ringtones. I mean, all kinds of things. We even do a live video conference, you know, like a hangout once a month. Last month we didn't do one, but I'm going to do one this month at some point. And that is patreon.com/travelingrobert if you want to check it out and join the growing community of supporters there. My other source of income is my music, and I have several sources. For example, last year in December, I sold my CD with most of the music that I use as background in my travel videos, and I sold out. So that was really good. And this year, as long as I compose two or three more new songs, I am going to, you know, make another batch with the new music and put them up for sale too. And those were for sale at freeinmyrv.com. And I sell my stickers too, by the way. And of course, my music is also available everywhere online. Most of the songs, the new songs are only available at cdbaby.com. But all the older stuff is in Amazon and Google Play, and of course iTunes and Spotify, and you name it, whatever you can listen to music online, it's there. So that's it. I also sell, of course, stickers and t-shirts, and all that stuff is at freemyrv.com in my website, or it's just go to travelingrobert.com, and there's a link for, I think it's called, for merchandise. And and that way you can support the work that I do. I'm probably not getting rich anytime soon, but at least I am making a living doing what I love, which is, for the most part, making the videos. And, well, this week we have some mail, and I'm going to read you some of the mail that I have received here. I love receiving mail, so if you want me to read your mail on the air... That's the phrase from The Chase. You send me an email at robert@travelingrobert.com or send a voicemail. There's a link in my website. Aline Reno says, "Hi, my husband is a big fan of your videos. He's always walking around the house singing 'I'm riding in my RV.' We are currently saving our money to buy our first RV, and it feels like it is taking forever to get on the road. You always seem to have a great time traveling. Do you have any advice for preparing ourselves mentally to travel and experience new things?" And I answered very, very briefly, but in essence, just do it. I mean, there's very few things to be scared about, and in my experience, the world is not as scary or dangerous a place as we are often led to believe if we watch too much TV. So just learn the basics. If it is a travel trailer, just learn how to tow safely. Learn how to dump your tanks. You know, you have to learn the basics of your RV, and in time, you'll learn more or less how long it takes you to fill up your gray water tank, or how long it takes for your battery to be drained. You get familiar with it, but it's a learning process. It is like everything, you know, in life. The beginning, you're gonna make some mistakes, and we're all human. We'll make them, but it's really not that complicated. It is, and it is so much fun. I mean, our lives have literally changed since we bought our travel trailer 3.5 years ago. And not only because my YouTube channel grew exponentially during that time, and I was able to quit my job and make a living out of making videos. It's only I used to think that I was a traveler and it's such a different experience once you own an RV and you're able to park here and there, and you start, you know, learning where you can camp, or sometimes camp for free, and you have your own bed, your own fridge, your own toilet, your own everything, you know, and you travel with your home, and I've discovered my home state of Florida. I've lived in Miami for 30 years, and I didn't know, and I still don't know many places, but yeah, I didn't know Florida at all. And now I'm starting to know the rest of the lower 48 a little bit. Our country is so great and so big and so empty in many places that it would take a lifetime, really, to explore it all. Just Texas is huge. Anyways, Nancy Reed writes, "I am not an RV man, but I like to travel. Over the past 4 years, I've driven to 43 of the 50 states from Nova Scotia, Canada. The 7 states that I have not visited was Hawaii, Alaska, Arkansas, Iowa, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. I will send an itinerary document if you want me to. It's an Excel spreadsheet of the route that I took to travel to California and back. And that would be great, because in the future, I want to do a little bit more of planning, and I want to do certain routes. For example, there's several books. There's a book called Blue Highways, in where this guy in a van, he drives on all these secondary roads. And that book is from the 1970s. So I would like to follow in this guy, or the 80s maybe. Late 70s, early 80s. The exact date escapes me right now. But I read that book, very enjoyable. I recommend that anybody read it. But I would like to go back to all those places and see how they have changed in the past several years. Because a lot of businesses on those secondary highways have gone out of business. I mean, everybody travels on the interstate nowadays. And I noticed that now, recently, I was traveling on Route 66, and some parts of Route 66 are just a dirt road at this point. So I would really, really like to see that Excel spreadsheet. So I answered and I said, yeah, sure, send me that travel plan. Steve says, "Really great, Robert. I'm happy things are going well. You're honoring your creative side, and what's better than that? Keep it up." And yes, for many years I was stuck at a job that, I mean, I didn't dislike it. It was a fine job, but I wasn't very good at it. So now this is the best version of myself, and I learned after 46 years on this earth. Robert, next time you visit Crystal River, stay at the Rock Crusher Canyon RV Park. This sounds a little bad, but the park is way better than what you experienced. Plenty of room and a great pool. See you on the road, Big T and Peggy from Macon, Georgia. And I'm going to make a note of that RV park, because where I stayed, I called it an RV condominium. You know, it's one of these Anchor Thousand Trails properties. And it's geared mostly to annual, you know, or long-term visitors. And they gave me a horrible sight with a tree that had a lot of birds that pooped all over my car. Well, you've seen that video. If you haven't seen my Crystal River video, go check it out in my YouTube channel, youtube.com/travelingrobert. Now, the destination of the week is a city that I did not see on the way west, but I did stop for a few hours on the way back to Florida, and I would have loved to stay a lot longer, but, you know, 3 hours was enough for an overview walking around downtown, and that was San Antonio, Texas. What a great place. I mean, from that superficial experience that I had, but it's one of these cities that has that character. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, you know, San Francisco, New York. I mean, I'm making a big leap here. It's not like a big city like New York, but it's a city that once you are there, you know you were there. You know, it has a certain uniqueness to it, and it's old. You know, it's a city that has a history. Of course, that's where the Alamo is, and I did go into the Alamo. I didn't stay for a very long time. They didn't allow any pictures or video inside, so I won't be able to show you that on the video when I make it. But I walked around the outside, and of course, there's a lot of history there. I also went to this bar, which is the oldest bar in, I don't know if it is in Texas, at least in San Antonio. It's called the Buckhorn, and they even have a museum, and supposedly that's where Pancho Villa used to hang out, and he even met the president of the United States at the time in there. It's called the Buckhorn. I sat at the bar. It's one of these old places with a lot of animals hanging on the walls, you know, desiccated animals like with big horns, like deer and that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was really cool. And then, of course, the other thing that you must see in San Antonio is the Riverwalk. And I was lucky enough that it was the weekend before Mardi Gras when I was there. And they were having this parade, you know, all the, you know, they have the boats that go on the river. And they were kind of decorated like floats, like Mardi Gras floats. And they had a concert, you know, they had brass bands from New Orleans. And it was cool. And of course, there's all kinds of different restaurants. I didn't even stop to eat there because everything was so crowded. It was on a Friday, the Friday before Mardi Gras, and it was full of people. But they have a Mexican restaurant there that is like one of the oldest. Yes, it is called Casa Rio, and it's a Tex-Mex place, and has been there since 1946. So the next time I'm in San Antonio, I want to eat there. And of course, there's a lot of ambience in the Riverwalk. Very cool. And of course, there's a lot more stuff to see in San Antonio. But all I had was 3 hours because I wanted to make it back to Miami by Valentine's Day. So, yeah. I'm always rushing around. I have to learn. What can I do? Next time, besides San Antonio, I want to visit the Fredericksburg area, which is just west of San Antonio, west and north. And of course, also Austin, which is right there. It's like a little over an hour drive, and that's the capital of Texas. So looking forward to going back to Texas at some point. I don't have any news this week, by the way, but I do have a tip, and it's something that you don't really need to have it, but it's nice to have it, and it's an adapter. For example, I'm 30 amps, and some of these RV parks, it happens once out of every 20 times that you camp that they only have a 50 amp outlet. And this, basically all the RV parks that have that problem, they will either provide you with an adapter or rent you one. But it's always good to have one, you know, just so you don't have to remember to return the adapter, you know, that kind of thing. So same, if you have a 50 amp rig, you should have an adapter to connect it to a 30 amp, because you can do it. You just have to be conscious of the power that you consume. If you turn on both air conditioning units, boom, you're gonna blow a fuse. But yes, it's a good idea to have those adapters, even one for like a regular household 15 or 20 amp outlet, because sometimes you are much docking, like they call it, with family, and you want to connect to power, at least to have, you know, a microwave. And actually, with my rig, I can even turn on the air conditioning connected to a 20 amp outlet, and it works fine. Sometimes I do it here at home when I'm working inside the rig, and I live in Miami, guys, and we need air conditioning here to 10 months out of the year, at least. And now, finally, for Nomad News, and these are, it's pretty much a silly segment that I do here at the end with news of the YouTube nomadic community. And it's a growing community. There's a lot of people traveling and making videos. I have a lot of competition here in this segment, but I think there's room for everybody as long as you are unique in your approach to travel videos. And talking about the nomadic community, well, Nomadic Fanatic is going back to the rainy Pacific Northwest to take care of business. And we never found out what happened with Angela. Maybe he'll reveal that at some point. And Mike, living free, is feeling a lot better and going nuts about gas cans. I don't know why. Brian Adventure Van Man has left Oatman, Arizona, where they had all the burros, and he's selling handmade wooden spoons now. I'm telling you, multiple sources of income. Angel and Kaelig, you know, they are in Southeast Asia. When in Rome travels, they are finally catching up with their videos from India, and eventually they'll come back to the USA. I look forward to meeting those guys again. Now, and a little bit of sad news, Leo, which was Joe and Kate Russo's husky, has passed away, gone to dog heaven. You know, all dogs go to heaven, so that's a little bit of sad news, but some live and some arrive. And Josh and Kaylee of the Freedom Theory just had a baby boy named Landon Isaac, 8 pounds, 9 ounces, and 20.5 inches long. So welcome to the world, and congratulations to Josh and Kaylee of the Freedom Theory. And as I mentioned earlier in the episode, the RV Entrepreneur Summit is happening in Fredericksburg, Texas, and a lot of people are there. Less Junk, More Journey, and Technomadia are speaking. Of course, the show is the summit, I guess, is organized by Heath and Alicia Paget, and I met them at the Tampa show, and they are Winnebago ambassadors, and they also have the RV Entrepreneur podcast. So, in conclusion, I have a new tune. I'm bringing back the tune of the week, at least for this week, and I'm gonna play for you my new tune that I wrote, thinking of the long road through Texas. This long and not so winding road through Texas, A-10. I'm calling it the road to El Paso. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. See you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle.